Sure, son of a lovely guy. Shikania Hall. I do not believe that.
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm your host this week, Shane Lees, and joining us we have got Chris Lappin.
Yeah. Evening.
Did I pronounce that right this time? We've also got Nick Davey.
Yeah, good evening all.
Okay, we're going to get straight into it this time because there's lots to talk about. We're going to talk about Jose Mourinho. Now, he's been having a little bit of a meltdown in these last few weeks, going a little bit crazy, and there's a lot of speculation at the moment that hit the Liverpool game could be his last game if he doesn't get a result. So it could be Mourinho's last stand there. Do we think Mourinho is genuinely in trouble? And do we think, if he isn't, that he should be?
Mourinho sucks. No, I mean, he's just so boring these days, isn't he? And he's just blaming everyone, but apart from his own failure.
If he was boring, there wouldn't be a new news article about him every 14 seconds.
I just think... I don't think Chelsea will get rid of him. I don't think they probably should, because... He's still a brilliant manager. I don't really know what's going on there. I just think it's a mixture of everything, really. I think one thing's for sure, the players just aren't playing as well as they possibly can play.
Well, there's the two conspiracy theories, isn't there? There's the third season Jose Mourinho can't do, and he's pissed off John Terry, so the players don't play for who pisses off John Terry.
Personally, I don't really buy into either of those, because the whole third season thing, what is that, like some voodoo curse has been put on Mourinho? He gets into the third season and just it all collapses.
Well, no, the argument is that he can't build a team. He can an already established team. But
okay,
right.
But if we're saying that, we're saying he hasn't built a team. But the team he got for the third season is just leagues behind what it was before. It's pretty much the same team. I personally don't get that, because there's this sort of inherent notion that by the time he's got to the third season, it's all fallen apart, and it is pretty much exactly where it was before. And the thing about John Terry, I don't think John Terry has that much more power in the dressing room these days, especially considering a lot of the old guard players like Drogba, who would have been, you know, Terry allies, aren't there anymore. It's a different generation of Chelsea players than it is from the Terry generation, the 2004 generation. So I don't think he has that much power to completely destroy his own club and render them near the relegation zone.
Well said.
Okay, so what do we think? Nick, you said you thought it was just a number of things all coming together. What do we think it is that's actually causing this at Chelsea?
Well, as I say, I think it's just... There's clearly something that not everyone knows about. There's something going on behind the scenes. Whether it could even be like a small minor of players rebelling... And they could just be like the dressing room's just not there. I mean, they just might not be a buzz. I think it could all be a case of everyone's blaming each other, really, all the players. Mourinho's obviously one of the best managers there is. There's no question about that in the previous. But even he's finding it difficult to get everyone sort of bonded. I think you could say they need a big result to kick it going, but where's it going to come from?
Well, I'd say they'd need a few big results in a row.
Because they seem to have that thing where they seem to cross the bridge. I mean, they had that Champions League home win. They beat Arsenal. But nothing's really... They haven't really kicked going. Nothing's really kicked off, has it? And they just seem to be having a disaster after a disaster. I mean, like West Ham, I think that was sort of their story of the season summed up in one, really, wasn't it? Ascending off, losing, Mourinho getting sent to the stands. It was sort of...
And in its own way, they didn't actually play terribly. I mean, I've watched most of Chelsea's game this season, and for people like absolutely lambasting them, not been terrible. It's just not been there.
I think there's some players not proven. I think you have to look at Hazard. Hazard's not being the world class player that he was. The player of the season that he was last season. Costa doesn't look anywhere near the player he was last season.
Fabregas hasn't turned up this season.
You've got a lot of the big players who are now very out of form.
Yeah, Matic looks awful. I thought he was
the number one defensive midfielder in the world. Yeah. This season, he doesn't look...
Yeah, 100%. He's awful. John Terry's obviously... last season, I thought he was one of the best centre-backs in the Premier League, if not the world, last season. And he's been shocking this season, as has Gary Cahill.
See, I agree with what you're saying in terms of you think it's a lot of... It's comorbidity of things. It's a whole bunch of things coming together, little things that become a big problem altogether. But I do think there is one overarching thing, and I think we're starting to increasingly see this in the Premier League because of just how tough this league is. No team can dominate it. No team can win one year and then go on the next year and do well.
Well, I can't think of the last time anyone was retaining.
I think it was United in around the 2010-11 seasons. I think it must have been about back then. But I just think teams are coming into this a bit arrogant, a bit complacent, a bit out of fitness because of how they have to do that massive effort for an entire season and maybe having poor pre-seasons. And then it just hits them that suddenly this is the most intense league in the world. You can't drop your game for a single match. Crystal Palace will give you a hell of a game. You're not going to get that in Spain or in Germany.
Either Bournemouth would.
I mean, Van Gaal had the same problem I thought last year, didn't he? Where he sort of underestimated the smaller teams.
Well, we talked about last month that the top six are basically staying as good as they are, but the rest of the league.
It's
are we all very good teams now rather than just good teams in the top elite six.
You know, in the Premier League, you're not going to get any. Well, there'll be some games easy and other when you're at home, but any away game is difficult, isn't it?
It's like people like absolutely criticise the hell out of them for losing away to West Ham. How many teams are beating West Ham this season? Yeah. West Ham are rolling over teams. They are looking very good. And they were down to 10 men, had absolutely atrocious luck in that game. I just can't understand some of this hysteria because I do think it is down. More than anything, down to just how hard this league is. I mean, my brother today, he was saying if Chelsea brought in Guardiola, he thought he could turn it around. I was thinking Guardiola is great for building a big team in a league where they can absolutely dominate, where they don't have to try for half the matches. Do we think Guardiola could come in and do the exact kind of thing he's done before in the Premier League? No chance. It's not that kind of league. Mourinho's found out again. You can't do that in the Premier League. City found out. I think it was the year before last when they tried to retain the title. Yeah. And you just can't do it these days. So I think, as much as, they've declined quite significantly in terms of how they're playing, but I think it's just got a bit hysterical. It's not half as big a problem as everyone thinks it is. If they go on and have three decent results, all of a sudden, they're not so far away from Champions League places again. It's not a disaster. So I think if Mourinho does get sacked or forced to walk, I think that's just an absolute travesty, and I'll be very sad to see him leave the Premier League.
Who do you think they'll get in?
That's the other thing. What do they do? Go back to Ancelotti? I mean, I did see a thing today that said Andres Villas-Boas would be brought in. Yeah, Andre Villas-Boas was being linked with a job. I just think, are Chelsea just going through a cycle now? We're going to see Di Matteo as well again.
Well, no, they're going to have to give it to anyone at the end of the season. Well, you'd probably... Well, I don't know who they would. That's the thing. It had to be some experienced manager, wouldn't it?
If you sack Mourinho, what world-class manager would you...
Ancelotti.
Rodgers.
Well, I was going to say, him until the end of the season probably would be a bit...
We'll get them.
I mean, realistically, they'll be with Mourinho until the end of the season. That's in case he doesn't walk himself, but...
They won't sack him, but they'll have to pay him £30 million.
Well, he just won't. I don't think they would. I think he's just too good to let go, really.
Besides, it's Chelsea money. If it's going to come down to anything, they won't care about the money. But I do think if they got rid of him, it would just be an absolute disaster. I think it's just too much hysteria.
Allowed to have a bad spell.
Definitely.
He's lost six of his last 12, but before that he'd lost six of the...
Mind you, if it means him leaving and Brendan Rodgers coming in, I'd love that.
So, every manager is entitled to one bad season. Man United, one of the biggest clubs in the world, had one very bad season, and then it was top four again the next year. Normal service resumed, almost. So I just don't buy this whole thing that this should be Mourinho's end. I mean, that's an absolute ridiculous joke, and if anyone's actually seriously peddling that... Sort yourselves out. Come on. Right, okay, we're going to move on. FIFA. FIFA, the good old fun stuff of FIFA. The elections are now finalised for February. The candidates are all sorted, so we know exactly who's going to stand, exactly who can win. So what I want us to do is I want us to sort of talk over the candidates and what we think of them, what we're kind of hoping is going to happen. So I'll quickly give a quick briefing of all the candidates. We've got, and this one's brilliant, Tokyo Sex Whale. Tokyo Sex Whale. He's a South African politician. He wants the job. I think he has been involved in the South African FA. He was involved in the Jacob Zuma government of South Africa. He's got the backing of.
Hasn't he made millions in mining wars?
No, that's the other African fellow, Musa Baliti, who is the Liberian president, and no one likes him, so less said about him, the better. But yes, Tokyo Sexwell, he's a very major player. The other major player is Sheikh Salman bin Ibrahim Al Khalifa. Yep. I think I got that right.
Get Mansur went to Spain.
Okay, the other ones are Gianni Infantino. You'll know him as the master of ceremonies at UEFA. He's the one who's the bald guy who does the Champions League draws, if you're wondering who he is. Prince Ali bin Al Hussein, the guy who stood against Blatter last time. He's still standing again. And the other ones, which I barely even mentioned in my little notes, is Jerome Champagne. And you don't even need to know who he is.
So you're lucky to go against Blatter.
Yeah, Jerome Champagne used to be his Sepp Blatter's advisor, and he has no chance of winning, so let's just not even bother with him. Musa Baliti, the Liberian FA president, who has previously served a six-month ban from FIFA for misuse of confidential documents, which is very suspicious. He won't win, guaranteed. He doesn't even have the backing of his own confederation, so he won't win. And then there's Platini, of course, who is currently, and I won't read out what my note is about Platini, he's currently in a big situation with the whole corruption thing between him and Blatter. There's every chance he might not even be able to stand in the end. He's banned for 90 days, so he can't campaign for 90 days, and that'll take him all the way up to January. So Platini probably won't have a shot in this one. Okay, so what
is it the same as last time? You have to vote in blocks?
Not that they have to vote in blocks, it's just that they generally do. So you have the big confederations, you have CAF, which is the African one, CONCACAF, which is the Caribbean and North American one, OFC, Oceania, AFC, Asia, UEFA, obviously Europe, and CONMEBOL, which is South America. And they do tend to vote in little blocks, apart from a few rogue votes. But what do we want to see happen in this election? Who would we like to see win?
Tokyo Sexwell as a serious... I know Tokyo's not his real name, it's called Tokyo because he does...
Yeah. His sex whale is his last name.
Then President Tokyo Sex Whale just doesn't breathe confidence into me. Dean, what's his first name? You're saying tonight, it just needs to be all scrapped and started again. That's my thoughts.
Okay, right. Okay, well, that's not going to happen. So, like, in the realms of realism, of the candidates we have, what are we hoping to see happen with FIFA? Because it's all settled now. We know how it has to happen. What are we hoping to see with that?
Luis Figo.
Well, that was what I was hoping to see with that. But unfortunately, Luis Figo decided not to stand. Because, what happened last time with Luis Figo, for those wondering why Luis Figo has disappeared, considering he seemed to be the champion of FIFA, he turned up to, I think it was the CONCACAF or the CONMEBOL.
UK comedian did and threw money over
Blatter? No, he turned up to one of the confederation meetings when they were trying to appeal for votes, and the meeting just turned into everyone loving Blatter and saying how amazing Blatter was, and Luis Figo suddenly realised, this isn't an election, this is just a farce, there's no chance I have of winning, I can't even make an impact here, this is so corrupt, what's the point, and he just abandoned it completely. And I think the reason he has abandoned it completely again and not said, okay, this is a genuine chance to step in here, because he knows it's the same situation happening all over again.
It's corrupt.
Well, the big problem with FIFA, and I will try and explain this as simply as I can, is that we've heard a lot about reform, that at the moment, whilst they're doing the interim period between Sepp Blatter outgoing and the new president incoming in February, is they're trying to reform FIFA. Unfortunately, they just aren't. what they're doing is they're essentially getting rid of a couple of people, but all the structures which made that corruption happen... So all the things that are inherent in that organisation that made corruption possible, all being kept before the election. It's possible whoever gets voted in could change it after the election, but considering they will be getting voted in by those same corrupt people, it's just not that likely. So they aren't actually dealing with the problem before the election, therefore the election's going to happen just like it always has in FIFA elections.
Have any of them actually been sacked or it's been suspended?
FIFA tend to do things very quietly, in which they suspend people, and then a few like weeks, months, years later, they sort of go, yeah, you're never allowed back in football again. And they just try and sweep it all under the rug. In this case, what's happening is they're being indicted by the Swiss or the Americans, so it's not happening quite as quietly as they want. But that's generally what's going on with FIFA, so that's why I cannot possibly see this actually ending well. There was a lot of talk about how this could end well. This could be FIFA's new start. It won't be. This is another false dawn for FIFA, because, and I have written an article about this if you want to check this out on the V2 Journal, it's already almost decided who's going to win. So we already know what's going to happen with this.
Blacks that is gonna win.
Sheikh Salman bin Ibrahim Al Khalifa will win.
Are they going to be awful?
Okay, well, compared to the others, Sheikh Salman is what I would call a moderate. In a sense, he isn't outwardly corrupt. He isn't big on the development agenda, which Sepp Blatter and Joao Havelange was on. He's sort of, he's a bit like a diplomat. He's got enough, he's going to pull enough people to him, if that makes sense. Whereas Tokyo Sexwell, who is the biggest opposition to him, he's very much a bit like Blatter. And I'm not saying that he's like Blatter in the corrupt sense. He might be, but I'm not saying in a corrupt sense. Sepp Blatter was all about the development agenda. This was, you give the power to the small countries in FIFA. You start giving them the money, you start giving them the World Cups, you start giving them all of the development you can, and you let the big countries just do their own thing, as they always will. Mm. That was Sepp Blatter's thing. That was his predecessor, Joao Havelange, that was his thing. And Tokyo Sexwell, that's his thing too. And because of that, I think Sheikh Salman will end up getting all the votes. He's got the AFC, which is the Asian one, his own confederation. He's the president of that. He's got that all wrapped up right now. He's also going to have OFC, which is the Oceania one, because they're heavily linked in. And that is, by the way, already 57 votes he's got wrapped up. CONMEBOL, which is South America, has 10 votes, and they will vote for Sheikh Salman because they will not want to see the AFC get more the CAF get more powerful than it is, which is Africa. And if Sexwell gets elected, Africa will become more powerful. The South Americans are very concerned about that. They have the second seat in football, so to speak, behind UEFA, and they want to preserve that. So they'll vote for Sheikh Salman. UEFA will try and vote for either Infantino or Prince Ali, but unfortunately they'll realise very quickly they're not going to win, and they will go...
He was corrupt.
He's, relative to a lot of them, he's kind of like one of the best ones there, but he is basically America's puppet in all this. But UEFA will try and vote for one of Gianni Infantino or Prince Ali, but they will realise he's not going to win. They're not going to get any support from any other confederations, and they will at the second vote, which is in a FIFA election. If you don't get an absolute majority straight away, you go to a second vote. When that happens, UEFA will convert to Sheikh Salman because they won't want Sexwell to win because of how much Sexwell is like Blatter in the development thing. And obviously UEFA will want more of the power to go back to the big nations. So they'll vote for Sheikh Salman, and then Sheikh Salman will win. CONCACAF, which is the North American one, will go to Sexwell because of the development agenda, apart from countries like the US, who will go for maybe Prince Ali and abandon him eventually in favour of Sheikh Salman. So Sheikh Salman will win. And I have put it on the article what the votes will be. It's not exact, but I guarantee I'm no more than 10 out on each of them. So if you want to know how this election is going to go down, do check out that article, because Sheikh Salman will win. I guarantee it. I would bet my house on it if I owned one. it's already decided.
Can you bet me like £500 on a round?
I've barely got a fiver, so I'll bet you that.
we'll put a link to your article in the description.
Yeah, but and obviously the consequences of this are more concerned who gets elected and what they're going to do. And as I said before, Sheikh Salman is a moderate, so he isn't going to be like Blatter in terms of just currying favour with, you know, the likes of Russia, the likes of Qatar, the likes of Brazil, the likes of South Africa. He isn't just going to go and give the World Cups to the smaller countries, the developing countries. But Sheikh Salman, he isn't going to do anything to solve corruption. He will work within that existing structure. And within 15 years, we will have the exact same problem with FIFA all over again. Only this time, Salman, instead of being indicted by the federals, he will have put in fixed terms. So the president can only last for 15 years. That's what will eventually happen. So he'll go out like that naturally. But let's put it in perspective, Sepp Blatter was only in for 17 years, so it's not a big difference. So, yeah, we're not really going to see any kind of change in FIFA. If that's what you were hoping for, I am very sorry. I was hoping it would be Luis Figo, who would genuinely change it.
I wanted either him or, like, Ledley King or someone.
Ledley King, that's right out there. Yeah, well, obviously anyone hoping for anything different, this is how it's set now, because unlike the last election, where Blatter got voted in and was immediately torn to shreds by the Americans and the Swiss, that won't happen this time. They will not be able to actually pass it off as destroying FIFA twice in a row. They won't be able to do it. So whatever happens in this next election is the one that's going to stick for at least two decades, and it will be Sheikh Salman who wins, and that is not good for world football. It's better than if Tokyo Sexwell wins, but it's it's like it's the least shit option closest to it, but it is still a festering, stinking turd. That's our options. But on to more pleasant stuff. Let's go to a game.
Hooray!
Alright, so in honour of the wonderfully named Tokyo Sex Whale, I thought we'd do a quiz based around footballers with funny names. So, okay. So I'm going to say a name, and you're going to tell me whether it's a real footballer or a cartoon villain.
Okay.
So, Nick, you can go first. So it's Phoenix Brilliant.
Phoenix Brilliant.
Yeah. Is he a cartoon villain or a real footballer?
Phoenix Brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, if he's a cartoon villain, Brilliant doesn't really seem like it'll be mind you, he could be arrogant. I want to go for a footballer.
He is. He's a Canadian footballer. Next name. Got Feathers McGrew.
What?
Feathers McGrew.
Feathers McGrew. I'm going to say that's a cartoon villain.
Yeah, he's from the Wrong Trousers, Wilson Gromit.
Oh, yeah, of course he is.
Nick, Fabian Arsman.
Fabian Arsman. Well, if it's cartoon, kids watch that. Is that right, the name, Fabian Arsman?
It'd have to be a young cartoon villain.
I was going to say, you've never seen Captain Pugwash.
I suppose, yeah, if it's on like the Family Guy. Captain Arsman.
Fabian Arsman.
Fabian Arsman.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Fabian, does sound like a footballer. Yeah, I'm going to go footballer.
Yeah, he's an Argentinian goalkeeper. Danny Invincible.
Oh. See, if it was, it's the last name Invincible, my thinking is he'd be a cartoon hero. So I'm going to go footballer.
Yeah, he's a... Yeah, he's played for Swindon and Kilmarnock.
Oh, I hope he's a centre-back. Just the Invincible centre-back.
He's a striker or attacking midfielder.
That's just boring.
Yeah, right, especially so, yeah.
Daniel Killer.
Daniel Killer? Yeah. Well... Villain, killer, but then Daniel sounds like, would a cartoon movie called Daniel?
Let's think, let's remember, Batman's called Bruce.
Yeah, I'll go for that. I'll go for cartoon villain.
No, he was a member of the Argentinian 1978
No.
Right, you got Arse Bandit.
What? Arse Bandit? Are you kidding me?
Nope.
That can't possibly be real. I'm going to go for that's a footballer.
Yes, he played for Algeria in the
70s. I just thought it can't possibly be a cartoon character called Arse Bandit.
Oh, dear.
Maybe a gay porn star.
I lost.
No, still got... so we got Banana Yaya.
Footballer.
Yeah,
that is a footballer. He's from the Ivory Coast, isn't he?
He's Cameroon, and he plays in France.
Yeah, I was going to say, because on one of my FIFA careers, you know how you get regenerated players?
Yeah.
I had a player who, and this is not me being racist, he was black with blonde hair, and his initials were A-Banana.
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 Yeah. So that's... I wish I'd got that one. I don't know that one straight away. Just from remembering A-Banana.
Yeah, so you got Sheldon Plankton.
Shelving what?
Sheldon Plankton.
Isn't that?
Yep, Shane.
That's a comic book character. Well, some kind of cartoon character.
He's from SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, I've never watched that. I thought that was from Dexter's Laboratory.
Plankton Sheldon. Oh, yeah, he is, yeah.
They call him Plankton more.
Oh, I thought he was called him. I thought it was called Sheldon from the Big Bang Theory then.
Right, so you got Danger, Fourpence.
Me?
Yeah.
Villain, cartoon character.
No, he's from Zimbabwe.
Oh, for God's sake.
And then
I lost you.
Last one for Shane.
Alright.
Zoltán Kiss.
That's a footballer. He's Hungarian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He plays in Cardiff, didn't he?
I don't know.
That's my football manager experience coming in big there.
Philip Kinson.
Winner of round one. Shane.
Ooh, big result. Right. Talking about big results, let's talk about Wayne Rooney and Manchester United. As we all know, they drew in the League Cup and went out on penalties. Wayne
Hooray! Rooney.
harsh. Wayne Rooney again had another shocking game. He is out of form dangerously. The question I want to ask is about both Wayne Rooney and Man United. And that is, where have all the goals gone? Why can this team just not seem to play attacking football? This is Man United we're talking about. This is Wayne Rooney, one of the, you know, the most experienced, best attacking players in the world. Or at least
I think Louis van Gaal just wants to win games rather than win them and risk losing.
You have to score goals in order to win games.
No, I mean, like, he wants to get one and then just keep it tight at the back.
I don't know what happened to Rooney. He's starting to look like he should play. If you saw him, he looked like a park player. He looks like a park player, a Sunday league player.
Well, I mean, even people who defend him all the time, they're starting to doubt him. It's upsetting, really.
He's lost a yard of pace. He does seem interested, but I don't.
The weird thing is, it seems to
people almost... just seem to work him out. People just seem to like. Just want to have him in their back pocket and keep doing that.
It seems to have come after he scored that 50th goal for England.
Yeah.
In that really weird way. You'd think that would have been like a massive confidence booster.
Well, yeah, it seems like he's sort of given up.
Done the opposite. He's right on the border of breaking Charlton's record for United, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he's... I think is he only about... No, he's miles off Shearer. I was trying to figure it out.
Very far off Shearer.
But he's just equaled Andy Cole, doesn't he? So he could go second. So there's lots of records. It could be just...
At the start of the season, people were talking about Wayne Rooney. He'd been playing deeper for Man United in sort of the number 10 position, attacking midfield. People were saying, he needs to go back up front. Now, this season's getting along, and he is clearly not fit for up front anymore. But people are now saying it's not that he should drop deeper, it's that he shouldn't play. It should be Anthony Martial up front, Mata in behind, and after that you don't really have a space for Rooney. So, okay, I want
to...
like.
I wouldn't know where to play Rooney at the moment. So for England, I'd put Kane up front. And I'd put I'd have Young on the left. For United with Martial up front.
So
I don't like Mata at the right. I like him...
Mm. You've defended Rooney quite a lot on this podcast. In fact, both of you have. I think all three of us largely have. And would we all say, at this point, Wayne Rooney needs to be dropped? Club or country?
Not for country, for club, I think.
Don't say what he needs sometimes to do with goalkeepers, where they just need to have a little bit of a break. Like they did Joe Hart. Was it Joe Hart last season?
It was Joe Hart, yeah. Caballero came in.
It was only for like 3 or 4 games. He came back, he looked refreshed, he looked energised.
Wait, is he a lack of fitness then?
What? I think with Rooney, he's played nearly every week since he was 16. And we all knew he didn't look after himself when he was younger. He used to smoke, he used to go out. So it could be just all catching up with him. He probably does need a little bit of time off.
I just think with Rooney, I think he should be dropped. Not permanently. We're given a few games out of the side to sort of rethink, to re-energise. I don't think that's going to happen, because Van Gaal, as we've already seen, is an incredibly stubborn manager, and Rooney's the club captain. I don't think he can justify dropping him, especially
he
can't justify...
Can wear the armband.
Yeah, no, but I don't think he'll be able to justify it to himself and to the press and to the fans dropping him, and then eventually bringing him back in. I think that'll be the tough thing to do, because I think he knows if he drops him, the amount of people who will be relieved by that and the amount of people who will not call for him to get back in the team...
Yeah, but you could just say... He could just make up a line and just say he's injured.
Oh, people, they do find that stuff out very quickly. It's like when they do transfers and someone gets injured, everyone goes, yeah, we know he's not injured. So I just think Rooney isn't going to get a chance to, you know, sit out for a bit, have a bit of a break, and then eventually get back into the football after he's, you know, rethought about his game and all that sort of stuff. I think he's going to be forced to try and play his way out of bad form. And with a player like Rooney, in the way Man United are playing particularly, which I think any striker would struggle in, I don't think he's going to exceed 10 goals this season, even with penalties.
There is something special about him, because he is one of the only like two players who's ever seriously messed up and then Alex Ferguson has forgiven. So there must be something Ferguson sees in.
I think Rooney, he's 30 now, he's turned 30, like we said, he started at 16. Like a bit like Michael Owen, he started so young, he started so intense as well when he was young. He was amazing when he was, you know, just 16, 17. He was an amazing footballer. I think players like that burn out quickly. I think we're seeing a lot of burnout. I think he does need a bit of time to just re-energise, refresh, rethink his game.
It's like people like Giggs took up yoga when he was getting into his late 20s, early 30s, just so he could... I can't see...
I thought Giggs took up his player's wives. Yeah, but, Rooney's not going to do yoga.
But Giggs, like, gave up playing for Wales and he took on...
Big loss, giving up playing for Wales. Back then, Wales were rubbish. That's not a loss.
But to help prolong his United career, he gave up stuff. And I can't see Rooney doing yoga or giving up playing for England. Or...
Exactly.
Okay, but I'll ask one more question on this before we move on. If Rooney keeps up this bad form for the entire season, as I said, getting no more than 10 goals in the season, which as a forward, you'd definitely you'd say that's a bad season. If Rooney keeps up like this, can he really justify a starting spot in the England squad in 2016 Euros?
Depends how Andy Carroll does.
I didn't expect that. Andy Carroll.
When Luke Vardy moves to Real Madrid in January.
Okay. Don't make me feel bad about England's striking options.
He's going to start the first game at the Euros. Doesn't matter how. He'll have to lead us out.
I hope not. Especially not if he's badly out of form. I want to do well at the Euros. Right, moving on. Tim Sherwood got sacked from Villa.
Yeah.
Remy Gard, the Lyon manager, is potentially going to take up the Villa job. It looks quite likely to happen.
Mm.
But I want to talk about Sherwood for a second. Did he deserve to get sacked?
Probably, yeah. I mean, though, he did a great... I quite like Sherwood. I think he... He did really well last season, kept Villa up against the odds, got them to the FA Cup final, but this season it just hasn't really gone to plan, has it? They haven't looked very good. They've suffered poor results, and I mean, they don't want to go down the route again of having to sort of get to January and having their season written off. At least if they can get a manager in now, they've still got a long way to go in the season, so...
The question,
it's more down to poor signings. So yep, the arse of his team ripped out with Laura.
Well, he's Sherwood's
Sake left and he replaced him with Les Scott.
Yeah, the question I'll ask about him.
Second best striker, got
Rudy Gestede. The question I'll ask about Sherwood was he responsible for selling those players? Did he give the go ahead? Yep, sell Ben Sake.
Well, sell Delph.
And I want Jordan Amavi. I want Vertuut. I honestly don't think Tim Sherwood had a clue who Jordan Amavi was, who Vertuut was.
I think he was told who he had to sign.
I think they have a transfer committee similar to Liverpool, don't they?
Yeah, if you saw his interview after last week against Swansea, was it?
I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was sort of just saying he was sort of saying the club. It's mainly down to the club, really. The whole club's in a bit of a mess, really. And to be fair, I know a Villa fan, and he says sort of echoes the same thing. I think it's the whole club just needs a complete. And I've been saying about Aston Villa for a couple of years now. I think the whole club needs a big change from top to bottom.
After O'Neill left, Randy Lerner seemed to lose interest as well, hasn't he?
They've just not really been the same since. And they've been pretty boring, haven't they? Just the whole football. I mean, like under O'Neill, it was very exciting football to watch. They were quality.
Oh yeah,
really good.
James Milner who is?
Yeah, Ashley Young, loads of them.
That was that was a good team.
They were just a very good team, to be fair, Villa. And but it's just all gone a bit. They just seem like they're just quite boring now. Mm-hmm. The whole football and everything, and they just they're not a very good side anymore.
I look like they know what they're doing whenever they're playing.
I know it's another foreign manager coming into the Premier League if he gets the job, but. Remy Gard, he was linked with the Brighton job a few years ago, and he does actually seem like a very good manager, Remy Gard.
Yeah, but it's also the case of you going into a relegation fight from being a team, Olympique Lyonnais, who are, you know, more likely to be at the other end, foreign manager who's never done the Premier League, seems like a massive risk to take.
Risky, yeah.
Until the end of the season.
I was going to say, give it to Kevin McDonald or even get Nigel Pearson or some
clown
like that.
Pearson, obvious choice.
Pearson would be your firefighter choice. Keep him up, and then, well, if they want to stick with Pearson, they can. But then maybe get your Remy Gardin. But I'd rather see Pearson 1 because it's not another foreign manager. Nothing against Remy Gardin because he does seem like a good man.
I think the thing with Sherwood is that, for me, he wasn't responsible for the transfers. And I think that's the main thing that's let him down. His team has just gotten weaker from the year before, and that team barely escaped relegation in the first place. I think he had a loaded hand, which was very, very poor, and he couldn't do much with it, and he's taken the blame for that. And I don't think that's fair at all, because I don't think he had much of a say in any of it. I think he's bitten the bullet for someone else's mistakes, and I think that's so harsh. But the one other thing I will say is when it comes to managers who pull a team out of relegation and then end up getting sacked, Sunderland, we've seen it the last few years, have happened to Sunderland, Aston Villa now, it's happening to them. As I think it's a big case that I think Sherwood's a good manager. I think he came in at the wrong time. I think if he came in at the start of this season, got an opportunity to build his team, got an opportunity to get his message across without having, you know, just escaped from relegation, having him being the manager to do it, I think all of a sudden it's a different mentality around the club. Because I think what happened to Sunderland especially, is the mentality is, we've just avoided relegation with this manager, this is a get-out-of-jail manager. He isn't going to be here long-term. And I think that affects how players play. So I think if Sherwood had come in at the start of the season, he'd have a much better chance. And I think that's what a manager like Tim Sherwood needs, is to come in at the start of a season for a club rather than in the middle of it. And I think he could go on to be a very good manager. Okay.
Do you think he'll drop down a couple of levels to... Or do you think he's going to try and stay...
He's got enough good credentials now in the Premier League, because I think most clubs will not look at Sherwood and say he was the root of Villa's rot. They won't say he was responsible for getting sacked from Tottenham. They'll say he was unlucky. I think there will be other clubs who would be willing to take a shot on him, but I would hope that it's at the start of a season rather than just getting a team out of relegation or getting them out of a bit of a bad position. Because I think
it's
that,
the Sherwood.
I think that's just the root of ending up not being a long term manager.
I think his next job will probably be in the Championship, and you never know. He could. I reckon I wouldn't be surprised to see him at QPR.
He could knock out that reputation where he comes in and motivates people for a couple of months, and then.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Comes in at the start of a season. I think that's his opportunity. I think Gary Monk had it. He came in very near the start of the season. He came in. It was very early on, didn't he? Gary Monk came in.
Yeah, and he's quality. Quality. Manager.
Gary Monk's a very good manager. We've got Sean Dyche, another good English manager. He came in at the start of a season, so he had a chance.
Gary Monk as well. You've got to admit, he's probably the best. How can I describe him? I mean the way he dresses, the way he just comes across. He's just so fresh, isn't he?
Yeah, he's very hot, Nick. You're going a bit Brighton on us here. Okay, we'll move on before this conversation gets too ridiculous. Game two.
Shane, you can go first. It's the same game.
Why not? Are we still doing these stupid names?
You can't say these things.
So you got Foxy Loxy.
Foxy Loxy. Oh, that's got to be a woman, though. I'm going to go with that is a cartoon character.
Yeah, it's from Chicken Little.
I love that film.
Lord Scum.
Lord Scum?
Yeah.
That's got to be a cartoon character.
Yeah, it's from Captain Planet. Steve Death.
That's football.
Yes, yeah. He used to play for Reading.
Yeah, I remember him. Oh, my football manager years are coming in so big here.
Or your cheating ability.
Johnny Mustache.
Ooh, I think that's a footballer.
Yes, he plays in the Seychelles. Football
what a name.
Star from the Seychelles. It says it.
Johnny Mustache.
Hugo Agogo.
That is a footballer.
Yeah.
No, he's from Batfink.
Oh, dear. I just heard a go-go and assumed Nigerian footballer.
Junior Agogo.
Oh, I am so racist.
No, it was a footballer called Junior Agogo.
Oh, good. I'm only slightly racist.
He used to play for Bristol Rovers and Nottingham Forest. Though. Anyway, yep.
Yeah, Heinz Doofenshmirtz.
I'm pretty sure he was Camp Commandant at Auschwitz.
Isn't that an ice cream?
Go for ice cream, I go for Camp Commandant.
Heinz Doofenshmirtz. I swear that's an ice cream. Footballer?
No, he's from Phineas and Ferb.
Oh, dear.
Have a look, dude.
Oh, that can't be real. That's got to be a cartoon character.
No, he's a Zimbabwe football.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Unbelievable.
No. Okay, Sagar Bastard.
Bastard. Well, they don't have a cartoon character name after the... Sagai, but I want to go footballer.
Yeah, he won one cap for England in the early century before becoming a referee.
We had a bastard play for us.
Alright, so you got Wolfgang Wolf.
His parents must have had a right laugh at that one.
Well, that was someone from Gladiators.
Footballer.
Yeah, he's a German footballer.
Yeah.
Van Wolfswinkel.
Alright, so, draw up. Mark the Man.
Footballer.
Footballer, he's from Belgium. He's a defender as well, so Mark the Man is quite.
Did I win that?
No, you can go to some death if you want.
We got time for a third game, the decider later on. I was really hoping to hear Jan Venegor of Hesselink, but it didn't come up, obviously. Right, the League Cup. We're going to talk about the League Cup a little bit now. As I said before, Man United went out to Middlesbrough. So, Chris, obviously a Man United fan, what went wrong?
I thought we already discussed this.
No, we talked about Rooney being a pain.
I mean, I only saw the highlights, I didn't see the game, but from the highlights, it just looked like we couldn't get hit by target. It seemed to have a decent side out. Middlesbrough didn't play amazing. Just that United didn't seem to be able to hit the targets, honestly.
Do we think that...
Do
we think that it maybe spells bad things for United? Because they've obviously been a bit out of form lately. I'm not terribly out of form, but... Does this maybe sort of epitomise the run they've been on, just can't score, defending fine, but can't really do anything?
We don't seem to have that final pass. I don't... Well, the last bit of play just doesn't seem to come off at the moment. I don't know if that's something that can be fixed in training, or it's a confidence thing. Or...
Yeah. Well, I'll say a big congratulations to Middlesbrough. One of the things a lot of the media came out with afterwards was a laser pointing... pen at Middlesbrough's at Rooney's face, talking about how this was very bad for English penalty takers, when a lot of the Middlesbrough penalty takers were English and they were doing great penalties. I just have to say congratulations, Middlesbrough. They went against Man United and they went through. That's a big result for them. Huge congratulations.
Yeah, no, it's a great result for them, and hopefully it distracts them from the championship.
Stoke beat Chelsea on penalties.
Well, to be fair to Chelsea, again, you look at it and you going out of the League Cup on a cold Tuesday night away at Stoke, you look at it, you don't really go, oh my God, sort of thing. It's sort of another, it just hasn't helped really, has it? Like,
yeah, no, a lot of people have blown out of proportion because of their previous stuff.
It sounded like Chelsea actually played pretty well.
Yeah, and they went out on penalties. It wasn't like they got battered out of Britannia.
Yeah, but that Liverpool result. Yeah.
Well, 6-1 draw, essentially.
I mean, I know Mourinho actually likes the League Cup, to be fair, but I think I don't think it's one to really get. I mean, it's just the timing hasn't been great. Yeah. If they were as good as last season and they lost this one, I don't think he would even notice. But it's just with the run of form they're on, with the whole. I think
Stoke seems to be finding their feet at the moment.
So. Well, I think the biggest shock was at Hillsborough.
Hillsborough. Okay, yeah, we'll talk about Hillsborough. Sheffield Wednesday, 3-0 against a very young Arsenal side. Arsenal have quite a few players injured for that game. Oxlade-Chamberlain and Walcott get injured in the first 20 minutes of the game as well.
Well, I think that's probably that's their most disappointing part of the night. I think it's actually probably losing them two to injury. I think that's probably what most Arsenal fans are pissed off about.
Yeah, apparently it's only for a few weeks, these injuries, so three or four games.
Yeah, it's worse. No, Arsenal. I think if you asked any Arsenal fan, though, what would you rather? Would you rather beat Barcelona and Everton and then go out the cup to Sheffield Wednesday, even if it is losing 3-0? I think they'd say, 100%. But it is just typical Arsenal, really, isn't it? You go and beat Munich, and then you go and beat Munich 2-0, look quality, beat Everton 2-1, then you go and get thrashed by an average championship side.
It's slightly worrying for Arsenal, because in the past he's always done this, hasn't he? He's brought the youngsters in, but they
always seem to lose to like minor clubs in the Capital One Cup, don't they? I think, was it last year, Bradford the year before that?
Yeah.
Is it worrying that the players aren't coming through at Arsenal, though?
Well, I was going to talk about that, but I will say, in the League Cup, we always see these shock results, but I mean, it's been quite a few years now. League Cup has always been a big team makes it to the final, and it's another little team that makes it to the final. You never really see two big teams in the League Cup final with anymore. Chelsea Tottenham is probably the only one.
Teams don't tend to take it seriously until the quarterfinals.
Yeah,
I don't think there is any need to take it seriously. I think it's a really good chance for young English talent to come through.
Yeah,
and I think I saw Adam Virgo actually. Adam Virgo, a person who's been on the show before. He actually had an interesting article. He said it should be like a competition where you have to name like a certain amount of young English players.
That wouldn't be bad at all, especially considering Arsenal in that game, the majority of the young players they put in that squad were foreign young players.
Exactly. If we play English young players, it'll be a good chance to. We don't have to. Obviously, it stops players. It stops people like Wenger losing the plot if we make it into the English for the Premier League. But it means, like these games, they can play the youngsters. They can obviously help their development. It will help England. And yeah, who knows? Like we could find a few unhidden gems there, like Harry Kane.
I have to say, I do quite like Arsenal. I like the way they play football, but I'm kind of glad that they went out of this competition. Not because I want to see them do Premier League, but because they played that young side. Nothing against playing a young side in the League Cup, but they just haven't shown a commitment to English talent in the last few years. Especially in the youth levels, they have not shown a commitment. They've let go of quite a few good young players, young English players specifically. I sort of think this is just desserts.
I just find it funny when they beat Munich, Wenger's the best manager this, best manager that. Lose 3 and Sheffield Wednesday, Wenger out, been sent up for years, Wenger needs to go.
Arsenal fans are so fair weather, aren't they?
it's incredible, isn't it?
He's going to sign a new contract till 2019, which is 2070.
Yeah, well, good for him if he can keep going that long.
I still stand by, if they win the league, he's got to resign, I think, just because, he's bowing out on the ultimate high. What does he want to do? Win the Champions League, Premier League? If he wants to win all the cups before it, then he might as well drop dead. But yeah.
So if I reach the age Wenger is and I can put up with that much stress in my life, I will consider that I've done quite well.
Well, it's good stuff.
The gossip columns are saying they want to bring Patrick Vieira and him shadow Wenger for a couple of years, like Giggs are doing with.
I won't mind when Wenger goes if we end up with Vieira v Giggs.
Vieira would be a quality manager.
That'll be fun.
They can get Roy Keane in there somewhere.
Roy Keane will have to get a job at the Premiership.
I still think Roy Keane would make a brilliant manager. I still think he is a good manager somewhere.
Be the whatever club's official shouty man. But we'll move on from Roy Keane because we've no idea where that one will go.
Nutty coach or something.
Yeah, Liverpool v Bournemouth. Jurgen Klopp gets his first win at the club. 1-0 against Bournemouth. Bournemouth played quite well, actually. I did watch that game. They played quite well, Bournemouth. Quite unlucky to lose. Do we think this is maybe the start for Klopp? Because he's experimented with his teams a little bit. He's done a few different players here and there. Do you think this can be Klopp's, the start of his success at Liverpool? Or do we think this win is being massively overreacted to?
Well, you're always winning your manager.
This weekend against Chelsea is going to be, we see.
When you go into your football club, you always look for that win. It doesn't matter how you win it or what game it is, who against. You just look for that first win, don't you? And then I think there, it's just you can breathe, can't you? Really, if it's your first game, obviously after you ideally want to win your first game in charge. But then obviously after that, then it starts to be like, oh, the first win. When's it going to happen? And I think once you've done that, then you can go home and have your glass of wine or whatever and just relax. Really, and know you've got it. But then after that, it's all about kicking on. Really, I think. He'd obviously have his breather. He's relaxed, and I think now he'll be looking for players to kick on. They've obviously got a very big game against Chelsea, and I think Liverpool will be well up for it. It's at Stamford Bridge, isn't it?
It is at Stamford Bridge.
I think Liverpool will be well up for it. I think they'll go there full of confidence, going, look, we can go here and we can cause an upset. We can really get the Chelsea crowd on their backs and help it us out really hard.
I want to talk about Liverpool for just a minute, and I think with Liverpool, it's been very underwhelming. Klopp's coming in. We talked about there was a lot of talk about Jurgen Klopp having a manager's bounce. New manager comes in, the club performs very well. All of a sudden, haven't had that with Liverpool so far. Is the problem at Liverpool the players, or is it the way Rodgers got them playing in the end? Is it that they don't? Is that team cannot be built to be a successful team by Klopp, or is it that they just need to get used to new ways of playing? So, is it the players, or is it the style they've been doing?
We have said recently that the players' staff is not as good as it was when Rodgers took over. But I do like the high pressing game he's got them playing.
I thought their game against Southampton. Sorry, mate.
That was coming.
I was just going to say, I quite enjoyed watching them against Southampton last week. I thought Southampton played pretty well, but Liverpool actually looked quite good. They actually looked quite entertaining. I'm not going to have a bad word to say about Brendan Rodgers because I think the bloke's brilliant and I love that Twitter account. But I think Liverpool will be right on the club. I think, obviously, it's not going to happen overnight, but I think over the last couple of games we've seen definitely some improvement.
Yeah, I think we have seen some improvement, but I will say this. I do agree with Gary Neville, who put this point across quite well on Monday Night Football quite a few weeks ago.
Best pundit there is, the best pundit there ever will be, and best pundit there ever will be.
He said he doesn't think Liverpool will be able to keep up the pressing system for the entire year, and I agree with him. He's used to it in Germany. He's used to getting the players out of it in Germany, where it's four games less a season, where you have a winter break. Premier League is also much more intense than the German League. I think he will have to sort of slightly deviate from the typical Klopp way of playing. As the year goes on, he suddenly realises we can't do this. Not for a whole year. We will drop off too early otherwise. So I think Klopp will be very good for Liverpool. I'm very pissed off he's gone to Liverpool, to be honest. I'd rather he went to a club I liked.
But
I think it will take quite a bit of time for Jurgen Klopp to settle into the Premier League. But that's not a bad thing.
The game is it's a easy system to implement quickly, I think.
Mm. We'll move on to our final topic before we do the last game. And that's West Ham and Leicester. Now, I want to ask, how far can these teams go this season? Because West Ham just do not look like dropping off. Leicester don't look like dropping off. Everyone was saying Jamie Vardy will eventually stop scoring. He just won't. He just isn't. How far can these teams actually go this season? Because we've got Chelsea potentially dropping out of top four.
West Ham, I think, I think they've got a real good chance of actually getting Champions League football. I think Leicester will drop off. But again, I have to bring up that point. Remember, I was one definitely predicted it before the start of the season. I think my prediction was Leicester will easily go down, and I think Ranieri will be the first manager sacked.
So was I. I think quite a few of us.
I think there was only one person who disagreed. I don't know who it was, but no, I think. Leicester are playing quality. I'm delighted for Jamie Vardy. Great to see an English player scoring goals. Mm-hmm. But I think Leicester are probably more likely to topple off, given I think West Ham has got that bigger squad. But I think West Ham have actually got a great chance of making the top four this year.
Okay, well, established we think West Ham are good. Just, I think
Dimitri Payet could play for most clubs in the world.
I've been top eight.
Who do they get him off again, Payet?
Marseille. I want to say Marseille.
He is quality.
Yeah. Well, I think with West Ham, I think it is a possibility they could do top four, only on the virtue that I think Chelsea will very much struggle to get top four now. And Liverpool don't look quite there. Tottenham don't look quite there. It's open
Tottenham,
to one.
I think Tottenham always seemed after the Christmas last year, Tottenham were quality. Hmm. And I think they could be the same again. Every year they seem to do it. It's always around March time where they just fuck up. It really is, isn't it?
Yeah.
They go and lose 1-0 at home to someone like Villa or Stoke or Wigan or sort of someone who's in the Premier, like a shitty team like that, 1-0 and then at home, and then it just cocks their season up.
Yeah.
It's true though.
No, you're not wrong on that one. I do think West Ham have a good chance because is one top four spot open this year, I think.
A good season for Leicester to be top 10, I reckon top 8.
Well, yeah, I think
City United and Arsenal, you're three definites.
Yeah. But there's one spot open.
I think it's either West Ham or Tottenham.
I'm going to hope for Southampton,
if Chelsea are top eight in January, do you reckon they'll just go out and splurge a load of money?
What's that going to do, though?
They could afford it, but yeah, big January signings have a history of going bad.
Yeah, I was going to say they do. No,
Torres.
I think they need to average between 10 and 12 points a month.
That's a bit hectic. But Leicester, do you think Leicester can go on and do a bit of a Southampton, which is get promoted one season, just about survive the second season, and then maybe eventually from that build a platform to start challenging?
Well, I think Europa League's not out of the question. I didn't say that. I just don't think they'll get top four, but I think they could certainly get Europa League this year, and you say even get bigger and bigger because they've got some rich owners there as well, haven't they?
Yeah, I think Leicester could be an established top 10 side over the next few years, maybe more than that if they can really get the investment in there.
And maybe if they want to splash the money on another striker, they can give us Leo Ojoa back.
The dream. Right, we'll move on to our final game, the decider.
So, Nicky, you've got 7. Shane, you've got 9.
Oh, dear.
Gotta catch up, Nick.
So, Nick, you go first. Miles.
Miles Bennett.
Miles Mayhem.
Miles Mayhem.
Mayhem.
Sounds like a wrestler. I'm going to go cartoon character.
Yeah, he's from Mask.
Ah, I love that film too. Yeah, oh man, I'm getting some films to watch tonight. What, a Mask?
Is it Gatesy's Mask?
Oh, I was talking about the Jim Carrey film.
Too young.
Great.
Right, Mojo Jojo.
Mojo Jojo.
Sounds like another wrestler.
I swear that's like from Pinky and the Brain or something. I'm going to go cartoon character.
Yeah, it's from Powderpuff Girls.
I was in the right area.
Randall Boggs.
I want to say cartoon character again, but I just don't think he, I don't think you'd do three in a row. Randall Boggs. Fuck it, I'm going to go with cartoon character.
Yeah, it's from Monsters, Inc.
Oh. Huh. What? I thought his name was Randall Weems. What? No, what name again? Randall?
Boggs.
Actually, yeah, I thought, who am I thinking of? Randall? Oh, I'm thinking of Randall Weems. That's from Recess, I think. Yeah, no, Randall Boggs. Yeah, because he's that...
lizard-looking dude.
Yeah. And he has the assistant called Fungus.
Move on.
What strength's a quality movie?
It is.
Pedro Power.
Pedro Power. I like that. I like that, even if it isn't real. I'm going to go footballer.
Yeah, he's a Bolivian midfielder.
Pedro Power.
Orlando Trussell.
I'm going to go for footballer.
Yeah, he's a Dutch international. Hmm. Naughty Naughty.
That can't be real. Nah, comic book character or whatever.
There he's a Ghanaian defender.
A what?
Norbert. Ghanaian defender.
Oh, it's the bloody Africans with their silly names. sorry, racist, sorry.
Oh my god.
We got Norman Conquest.
Norman Conquest, footballer?
Yeah, he's an Australian goalkeeper from the, I want to say, 20s.
Like a politician.
Actually, that was an invasion by William against Harold.
It's Roberto Dynamite.
That is a footballer. That's a Brazilian footballer.
Yeah, he's a Brazilian striker.
Do you want to know how I know that? I did a Football Manager career where Roberto Dynamite took over my club. Football Manager is saving me.
Okay.
Sorry, we just had to interrupt. We've got some breaking news. Jose Mourinho has quit Chelsea.
Wait, really?
No.
I was going to say, we can't do breaking news on this. This isn't live.
We got Roger Klutz.
Roger Klutz?
Yeah.
Footballer?
No. He's from Doug.
He's from what?
Doug.
What is Doug?
It's a cartoon from the 90s.
Sure, okay, Doug. That's a shit name for a cartoon. Might as well just call it Phil. The cartoon Phil.
It wasn't a very exciting cartoon. Nickelodeon when I was a teenager.
Move on.
Right, so... yeah. John Nutter.
Did you say John Munter?
John Nutter.
John Nutter.
Oh, I know that.
That is a footballer then.
Yeah, but he's like chilling it, I think.
Jailing him, yeah.
Stevenage.
Cheers for that, Nick.
Right. So, congratulations, Shane. You've won 13-11.
Yes. I know my footballers from my cartoon characters. Not sure what that says about me, but...
says so I played... a little about the cartoons. Have you seen the new Bob the Builder?
No, I haven't, and I don't intend to. I'm 21.
It looks like they've put a baby's head on a man.
Not another Nick singing session. Right, okay.
And he thinks it.
Bob the Builder's gone like operatic here. Okay, right.
He can scoop my gun busy and roll it through. Bob and the gang have so much fun working together to get the job done.
Thank you for joining us this week on the V2 Football podcast. Please check us out on Facebook at V2 Football and on Twitter at V2 Football. Ask goodbye from me and I'll see you next week.